Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 41. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on show notes at guitarpodcast.net/blog, or just use the link at the top that says show notes. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to guitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts, where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. Have a new announcement for you. More videos are going to be going up on, or have gone up on, the YouTube channel. Check it out. And also, more videos will be going up there in the coming weeks. Check back there. And of course, if you follow on Facebook, you will get notifications there, as well as if you sign up for email alerts. I'll be sending an email whenever a new video is out, so you can check that out and comment. And I encourage you to go and check out the videos that are out there right now. Comment on them and such. Some really cool stuff going on. I've got plans here in the future to do a lot more videos and demos and reviews. And I know some of you mentioned in the past that you'd like a little bit of instruction. I had to help out with that. So yeah, check that out. Now then, got an email this week from Steve asking about SGs. Title, subject of the email is Gibson SG. And he says, "Hey, Lauren, first of all, I just wanted to say I really enjoy the podcast. Recently sold a boutique Tele that I had, and I'm now looking for a Gibson SG. Since you're a Gibson guy and own an SG, I thought you'd give an educated opinion. I'm looking to spend around $1,200 and would like to know which production years are the best. I see on eBay the 2003 to present age and a few from the 70s. Would it be better to buy a used one or buy new? Many of the SG standards cost as much as a new one." Yeah, good question. And Steve, thanks for the compliment. I'm glad you enjoy the podcast, and I'm glad you emailed me. I really dig emails from people, from listeners and such. Kind of keeps things rolling, keeps me on my toes. I'm interested to find out what boutique Tele you had that you sold. Just curious. I've called myself a Gibson guy. I really, really do dig Gibsons. And honestly, right now my SG is hanging on a wall at a music store on consignment for sale. And I almost brought it home last night thinking, yeah, I don't know. Because I'm not really a motivated seller. I mean, if it sold, it'd be great. I mean, I'd sure like to have the money. But I'm finding out more things about that guitar that are making me really want to bring it home, and I'll share those with you here. You said looking to spend around $1,200 and would like to know what production years are the best. First off, what production years are the best for the Gibson SG are basically the 60s. 61 all the way through 68, early 69, before Norlin took over. Those are probably your best, but you're not going to get into one at $1,200 unless it needs a lot of work. And at that point, it's not really worth it. If you could get the deals and everything and put it together, you're still going to put more than $1,200 into that. I do like the Norlin years SGs, and the only thing I don't like about them is the block inlay instead of a trapezoid inlay. I really think they should have stuck with the trapezoid inlay. I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. And that's one of those telltale things about when you can really tell a 70s SG is that it has the block inlay instead of a trapezoid inlay. Now then, best of my understanding is, from reading the Les Paul book, is that the guys up in Kalamazoo, Michigan in the early 70s, who were great artisans of electric guitars and acoustics and so on. Their basic consensus was whenever Norlin came on, whenever Norlin bought the company, everything seemed to be okay up until, I mean, it was okay through 74. But after that, they said things started to suffer, and which makes me feel kind of good because mine's a 74. However, the issues came in when they were the Nashville factory was building guitars there in the early 70s, because apparently those guys were just learning, and apparently they were doing the Les Pauls down there. I'm not sure that they were doing the SGs down there, because honestly, my SG is a fantastic guitar in a lot of ways. In some ways it's better than my Les Paul, some ways it's not, but in many ways it was really tough to take it and put it on the wall there for sale. But like I said, the more I'm learning about it and the more I play it when I'm there at the store, I want to bring it back home and say, forget about it. It's not going anywhere. Anyway, something about those 70s guitars, you can get into one of those 70s SGs for anywhere from, what you're saying, 1200 up through, you know, 1700, 1800. I mean, they can get up there in price, and it just depends on the condition of them. Mine has the original solder joints, all the original hardware, except for the Strattons. I switched those out for Shalers so that I could, you know, put strap locks on them. I think that's a must. If you get an SG, you have to put strap locks on it. You have to. If you were going to play on stage, if you're going to play live, standing up with a strap on it, you have to, or you're taking a very, very big risk of that strap coming undone right behind the neck and your headstock slamming into the stage floor and smashing and breaking. And that's not a good thing. So I strongly recommend strap locks for that. SGs are neck heavy. Some people don't like that. I had no problem with it. I thought it was kind of cool. I kind of like holding the guitar anyway, so I kind of keep it in place. It doesn't necessarily bother me. And like I've said before, each guitar is kind of different, and it brings out a different characteristic in your playing, well, in my playing. And you know, like a fat neck makes you play different than a skinny neck. It's, I don't mind it. It's character. And breeds different kind of creativity from a guitar player. So then, you know, the 70s are very scoffed at. You know, they're not like Fender and Gibson. However, there's something I found out about the late 60s through 1980, I think. They're called the T-top humbucker, or the tarback humbucker. One of the same, pretty much. I found out that those are highly sought after pickups, and most all those SGs have them. Those early 70s and the Les Pauls, they have them. They're really nice pickups. That's why I was saying that I was kind of surprised the SG had a nice warm vintage tone as opposed to something more aggressive. Like my Les Paul has a very aggressive tone. I thought that the SG would be a little more trebly. It wasn't. My understanding is that Angus Young's favorite SG in the 70s, when he, you know, was making all those great albums, that it had T-top humbuckers in them, and that he liked them. So this is just my recent reading. I can revisit this later on if I find out anything different. I'll be glad to share this on the podcast or on the show notes. If you know different, go ahead and post on the show notes. Let me know. We'd love to. I mean, I'm sure the rest of the audience would like to know too. So then, I think, I don't know much about the 80s SGs. They're kind of off my radar because they're necessarily vintage. And, however, whenever the 80s, and about, it was about 87, 86 or 87, Gibson really tried to start improving the quality of their instruments. And coincidentally, my Les Paul's an 87, and I think it's magnificent. I think it's a very fine machine, very fine instrument. And so I'm guessing that if there is a year to, I mean, an era to possibly avoid in SGs, it might be the late 70s through, maybe 76 through, say 85, 86, somewhere around in there. You know, I'm sure you'd still find a gem in that era, and at a reasonable price. You see on eBay the 2003 to present age, a few from the 70s on eBay. Would it be better to buy new or used? I'm always huge on buying used guitars and pedals and everything like that. And some things you have to buy new. The nice thing about an SG is, you know, if you want something brand new that nobody else has touched and you want to break it in yourself, you know, buy a new one. But if you want something that has kind of a vintage vibe that's already got some wear on it and some love, I'm perfectly fine with the used instrument. And the nice thing about that you just pointed out is that they're priced about the same. You can get a vintage 70s. I know some people would say it would never call 70s vintage, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, that's a long time ago. And some of those guitars are really, really nice. And so, I mean, you can get something with a highly sought after pickup in a T-top or a tarback, and something else about those wide bridges they have on those 70s. I think there's more travel front and back on them so that you can really get the intonation just right. So I think that's really cool. Like I said before, my intonation on that SG in standard A tuning is just spot on all the way up and down the neck. It's just great. And the other thing is, I'd love to take that guitar home and drop it down a whole step and then the low E on down to C, because there are several bands that are doing that nowadays, and I'd really like to play in that area too. It sounds so cool. I mean, I can drop the D down, and it's still really cool, but it's not. I can't play the sword in drop D. It's got to be drop C. It's got to be down there. So I hope that helps. I'm not really necessarily steering you one way or another. Just kind of giving you some information. You know, if I were to buy used, I would probably steer. I'd probably go towards the 70s as opposed to something from, you know, the last 10 years. Just cause, I mean, the prices are about the same. Why not get something that's potentially vintage? And they're not making those anymore, and they didn't make as many as they're making now. You just look at the production years. I mean, the production they were putting out, how many guitars they were putting out back in the 60s or the 70s, and each year, it's not as much as they're putting out now, or they had been. They may be. I know that they've been still trying to improve on their quality, even in recent years. I think from 07 on, I've seen a lot of really good Gibson guitars coming through stores. So, I mean, new or used, you're probably going to be very pleased with what you have. Gibsons are just great. I know I'm not super clear on that, but other than, if you're going to buy used, I'd buy an early 70s. I had a 76 SG standard, and it was really pretty cool. I liked it a lot and wound up selling it too, but I had some financial issues back then when I had that, so I kind of was forced to sell it. Bad thing about that is I bought that for $500, sold it for $500, and you can't get, I mean, it was in really fairly good shape. I mean, they had some finish issues, but I mean, that was an old guitar. But considering $500 for a 76 SG in really good condition, You can't get that today. I mean, you're saying yourself, $1,200. I mean, mine's in about the same condition as that old SG that that 76 was, and you know, $1,500. That's, you know, that's no chump change. That's three times as much. And that value has not gone down with the value of, like, if you look at graphs where they had that big hockey stick when the vintage guitars were like peaking back in 06 and 07, and now they've come down a lot. They're still coming down. Just in the last year, they're still coming down, even though the economy supposedly is recovering, and the Dow's up in the mid 1200s. Guitars that we got way, way, way up there are not, they're still coming down. Thing is about the lesser vintage guitars, the lesser value, the ones that aren't as highly sought after, not your 56 Stratocaster or 59 Les Paul or 68 Les Paul and 61, you know, not the creme de la creme vintage guitars that people go after. Those guitars they seem to be maintaining their value fairly well. I mean, there's been some fluctuation in the last several years, of course, like anything else, but they haven't been scattered widely with the, you know, their graph isn't nearly as crazy as some of the higher end guitars. So, I mean, you're still getting a value there, but the price dropped a bit. So, I mean, and I'm not a predictor of the market. So it could come back. It might not come back. It, you know, who knows? So, but yeah, if you dig the SG, have you played any SGs? Because see, if you like that heavy, the heavier neck or the thinner body and stuff, I mean, it's a different animal. I really like the Telecasters. If you like the Telecaster, what didn't you like about the Tele? What did you like about the Tele? What do you think you're going to like about the SG? Why are you looking for an SG in Celeste Paul? Or why not, you know, why not a Paul Reed Smith? I mean, there are a lot of different really good guitars out there that are humbucking guitars. And, I mean, even if you look at like a Paul Reed Smith, they're 24 frets. You get extra two, and that's a really cool, really cool guitar. So I'm just curious about that. Just things to think about, really. Before you go buy one, I would hope that you do go out and play one or play a few. Be sure that, you know, that's really what you're wanting to sink your, you know, $1,200 into. That's quite a bit of money. So yeah, Steve, I hope that really helped out. And if you listen to this and you have follow-up questions, please go to the show notes and post there. We'll fly right back. I'll be right on that on the show notes page for this episode, and glad to address things there. And that way we have it all right there with the audio, with this topic. And if somebody else has a question about it, the same thing, they can go right there in the show notes, do a search on SGs, 70s SGs, modern SGs, you know, that sort of thing, and find out, and they could see what we've been talking about. So, wow, I didn't know that I was going to talk that long about SGs. I know that I had that much to say. but that's cool. So I'm pretty much going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast. I'll be glad to share it on the air, and comment on the show notes. If you like what you heard today, and subscribe using iTunes or Zune, please let them know by writing a review. Again, go to the YouTube page and check out those videos. Comment there. I'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to have some more videos out there soon. I know this episode didn't come out as soon as I would have liked it to. It's excuses. I'm not even going to offer up excuses. I'm lame. All right. So next going to come out a lot quicker, and hope you all have a great week. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.